Okay, very good. So, welcome everybody for this afternoon's meditation session. And I'm Bhante Sujato, and I'll just talk a little bit about meditation first before we do some meditation together. So for this afternoon's session, rather than talking about a particular meditation method, I thought I might talk about one of the teachings which is very useful to consider and apply no matter what our meditation is. And that teaching is the teaching on the five hindrances. And hopefully you'll have heard of these five hindrances before. If you haven't heard of the name of the five hindrances, you will at least be familiar with their appearance in your meditation. Because, if we are to be honest, most of the times when we sit to meditate, we say we're going to do breath meditation, or we say we're going to do loving kindness meditation, but we actually do five hindrance meditation. That's actually what takes most of our time in most meditations. So the five hindrances are, number one, sense desire. Secondly, ill will. Thirdly, what they call sloth and torpor, which is a terrible translation. It basically just means drowsiness and tiredness. The fourth one is restlessness and remorse. And the last one is doubt. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about each one of these hindrances, because it helps if you identify these, and then you can know when they appear in your meditation. First thing to understand about these hindrances is that they are all conditioned. Okay? This is the most important thing. They're not kind of forces that drive you or anything like that. They're not kind of inherent things that exist in your mind or anything like that. They're just conditions. They arise and they pass away like any other conditions. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're very strong, sometimes they're weak. So don't underestimate them, but also don't think that the hindrances are somehow some implacable foe that you have to overcome. In fact, I can guarantee you that all of those hindrances in your mind are quaking in their boots right now. Okay? Those hindrances are that little feeling of nervousness that you get when you're about to start meditating, or that reluctance that almost makes you say, oh, why don't I do something else instead? And it's that thought in your mind, that little mara or tempter in your mind that tries to take you away from meditation. And that's what the hindrances do that. Why? Because they are afraid. They're afraid because, mighty and powerful though the hindrances are, they are nothing compared to the power of the Dhamma. And they know it, okay? So the very fact that you have come here and that you've sat down, and the very fact that you have even intended and thought of meditating, means that you have the hindrances on the run already. Okay? So don't think of these things as being something which is such a hard job to overcome. You've already done a pretty good job just by getting here, and you've already overcome so much. Sensual desire, right? So many things you might be doing now that's so much more fun, right? You might be down at the beach or eating or just lounging around on a Saturday afternoon or whatever, watching a movie. Could be so many things. Right? That is, and so many people. There's, 2 million people in Perth today who are doing more, having more fun than you are, okay? Of course, we know that's not the case, right? But people think that they are. They think that they choose what they're doing, and they think that they're doing what's pleasurable, and they think that going and sitting in a room quietly with a bunch of other people who are also sitting in a room quietly would be like really boring. Why would anybody do that, right? And this is the hindrances talking. So of all the 2 million people here in this fair city of Perth, right, the people in this room are the ones who are on the cutting edge. You're the few who have decided to make a stand and do something about these hindrances. So normally our minds, the first hindrance, sense desire, normally our mind, this is where our mind always goes. We always want to find happiness. And the basic reality of our life is that our minds are pleasure-seeking machines. We're always trying to experience pleasant feelings, okay? And one of the basic mistakes that people make in their spiritual life is they look at that, they see that their whole life has been a search for pleasure. They've been looking for pleasure, looking for pleasure, looking for pleasure, and it hasn't got them the happiness that they were looking for. And people then conclude, oh, it must be there's something wrong with pleasure. Okay? Pleasure is bad. Pleasure is evil, right? And when you come to spiritual practice, it's got to hurt. Right? I've got to have some pain. They even did a study on this where they gave people placebos, right? And if you give people placebos, right, the pills, they don't do anything, but you give one group sugar pills and one group bitter pills, the ones with bitter pills will get better faster. Even though none of the pills have any medicinal effect, right? If you're eating sugar, then your mind is convinced it can't be any good for you. So this is this kind of fallacy that we have in our mind. We think that if we're going to let go of that endless search, that pursuit for pleasure, then we're going to have to get rid of pleasure. And the Buddha, one of the great insights that the Buddha made was that there is some kinds of pleasure which are actually very beautiful and very beneficial and very wonderful. And those kinds of pleasure should be pursued and should be made much of and should be developed. And that kind of pleasure, of course, especially, is any pleasure we find in meditation. It's not just the pleasure of meditation. Any kind of wholesome pleasure can be contributing to the Eightfold Path. But especially and most deeply, the pleasure we experience in meditation. So if you're sitting there thinking, meditation about food, about sex, about going on holiday, about watching a movie, about all of these things which you find pleasurable and so on, don't think that you've got to somehow make your mind stop doing this, okay? That's not the point. The point is you have to give your mind something which is so much more pleasurable that it's not even interested in any of those things anymore. Okay? Something which is so blissful, so beautiful, so wonderful that you're just completely content and happy to be with that. This is why we develop that sense of pleasure and happiness in meditation. And if you don't do that, you're always going to be running around distracted by these other pleasures. So this is the first hindrance, sensual pleasure. Second hindrance, ill will. Okay? Anger, annoyance, frustration. Right? And it's the opposite of pleasure. Just as our minds are constantly seeking for pleasant experiences, we're always trying to push away and get rid of bad experiences. Right? We're getting annoyed, getting angry, trying to stop. And that, of course, never works either, because the reality is that there's good and bad in life. And we have to accept that. So through meditation, we don't try to escape from painful feelings. We don't try to stop hurting, stop suffering, right? What we do is we learn to accept those things. You learn to be patient. And so rather than getting angry about them, it's okay. You just learn to accept them. And through meditation, you develop this toleration for being able to experience painful feelings without getting angry with them, without getting frustrated. And so every time that anger comes up, you're thinking of someone with ill will, thinking of, someone at work, someone in a relationship with, someone in your family, thinking of them with anger and ill will, just remind yourself, oh, it's okay. That person doesn't have to be perfect. It's not their job to be put on this world to make my life better. They're just a person. They have good sides and bad sides. You just remind yourself of that. Don't get so worked up about things. Just be more patient. Be more accepting. If you're more patient and more accepting, your mind becomes cooler. You see this so clearly in your meditation. Anger is so hurtful. It doesn't accomplish anything. Right? Anger is like this kind of leftover emotion from a more kind of primitive mind. But we don't try to suppress it or get rid of it. You try to accept it and understand it. When you accept it and understand it, then again you're cutting off the roots of it, the conditions for it to grow. This is your anger and ill will. And third hindrance is tiredness and drowsiness. So sometimes you feel tired in meditation. This is natural. Don't worry about it, okay? If you feel a bit tired, a bit sleepy, just wait a bit, be a bit patient, let it go. Okay. You see, your body and your mind will take time to come back into balance. The most important kind of energy in meditation is the energy that keeps you meditating. Okay? It's not pushing and striving and exerting hard in your meditation, right? That's not what we mean by putting forth effort. What we mean is not giving up. That's real effort in meditation, just to sit there and be patient. And it's very natural, because our minds tend to be overstimulated, overexerted, that when we first come to meditate, that our minds tend to be exhausted and fall asleep, and it goes through that kind of phase. Okay, it's very nice. It's like a cycle. So we learn to be patient with that cycle. And eventually you'll see that if you're patient and you just keep with it, you don't give up, that your mind will come back into its own kind of balance. This is that third hindrance of drowsiness. And the fourth one is restlessness and remorse. Now, the restlessness and remorse is two things, but they're like a pair. Restlessness goes to the future. Remorse digs up the past. Right? So these are the forces that are dragging us out of the present. Right? So remorse is like a feeling of what we did in the past, going over it, regretting it, being annoyed by it, being angry by it, dragging it up, wishing it was done some other way. And the restlessness is what we want to do with the future, pushing, making plans, what we're going to do, all the exciting things we're going to do when we finish this meditation. And we're going to get down in the work we're going to do and all of those things. So this is that mind is kind of pushing against its boundaries. It's pushing one way and pushing the other, pushing one way and pushing the other. And never being simply present. The key to understanding and overcoming restlessness and remorse, again, most people when they do this, their response to it is to try to hold the mind in the present. Right? But that's just creating more pressure. Okay? Restlessness is pushing you this way, so you try to push back. No, I'm going to push it into the present. That's not the way to stop that. That just keeps on going, that keeps the cycle going. The real way to stop pushing into the past and pushing into the future, yeah, is to be content in the present. It's just contentment, just acceptance. So you realize that going into the past and the future is hard work. This is the wisdom approach to overcoming the hindrances. You realize it's hard work to think about the future. It's hard work to think about the past. And very often we think in our mind that we have this idea that somehow these things are happening to us, like these thoughts are, we can't control these thoughts, they're overwhelming us, they're overpowering us, they're pushing us into the past, pushing us into the future. And we forget that we're the one who's actually making those thoughts. Every thought of the future is something that you are doing, and it's hard work to do that. It's complicated. It's exhausting. So once you recognize that to put your mind in the past and the future is exhausting, it's actually much more restful and much more peaceful to simply be present. So this is that hindrance of restlessness and remorse. And finally, the last hindrance is doubt. Okay. Again, remember I mentioned that one of the basic functions of the five hindrances is to keep you away from your meditation. This is one of the things that doubt does, right? You know, would I rather be doing something else? Is this really getting me anywhere? I've been meditating for 20 years already and I haven't gotten enlightened yet. What's up? Should I get my money back? What should I have done with all the time I've wasted doing my meditation? Right? So all these doubtful questions. Now, it's important to understand that in Buddhism, doubt itself is not considered to be something bad, okay? In fact, in many times, the Buddha praised people for doubting, and they would come to him to ask a question, and the Buddha would say, you are doubting in a doubtful matter, okay? There are some things which are doubtful, and it's good to be doubtful about that. It's wrong to be certain about doubtful things, right? So doubt itself is not the problem. The problem is if you're doubtful about things that we don't need to be doubtful about. And one of those is the practice of meditation. And the practice of meditation is something which is very well tested. It was taught by the Buddha 2,500 years ago and has been practiced by millions and millions of people since then. And if we're doubting about how meditation works, then that's not a reasonable kind of doubt. Meditation works, and I'm sure pretty much everybody in this room will have seen that at one point of time or another. Right? You will have seen your mind become more peaceful through meditation. You will have seen the insights that come from meditation. You will have seen the sense of happiness and contentment that comes through meditation. So when you've seen those things, then there's no real need to be doubting. Doubt doesn't accomplish anything. Okay? But again, there are things to doubt about in your meditation. Is this the appropriate meditation for me? Or, you know, should I meditate more or less? And so on. And these are reasonable doubts to have, okay? But they shouldn't be consuming your meditation. They're practical questions which you can clear up by yourself or by asking a teacher. You know? But when you're sitting there in the meditation, you should commit yourself to that. This is my time for meditation. It's not my time for working out the shopping list or for solving my problems with my partner or any of those things. This is the time for being peaceful and content. And so one of the most best ways we have to overcome doubt in meditation is to provide strong boundaries around the meditation practice. That means that we know where we're going to meditate, we know when we're going to meditate, we know what is the posture we're going to use for meditation. We know we start meditation like this and we finish meditation like that. And we remind ourselves at the beginning of each meditation that this is what we're here for. So you have a strong sense of commitment to practice in this way for this period of time. And it doesn't mean that everything else is of no value, all of your other hopes and concerns and worries and so on. It's not saying they're not of value, it's just saying that this is not the time for them. So you give your mind a clear and strong framework for your meditation, and that helps you to say, okay, this is the time for meditation, everything else I will leave until afterwards. And this is one of the ways that we can use to help to overcome doubt. So these five hindrances: sensual desire, ill will, drowsiness, restlessness and remorse, and doubt. And that's five ways of overcoming them: overcoming sensual pleasure through contentment and happiness in meditation, overcoming ill will through acceptance, overcoming drowsiness through persistence, overcoming restlessness and remorse by being peaceful and content in the present, and overcoming doubt by being clear in our minds about what we're doing in the meditation. So none of these things, like I said, they're not all powerful, right? They are quite powerful, but the power of Dhamma in your mind is stronger than they are. And this is one of the most positive and empowering messages that the Buddha gave. He said, it is possible. Okay? He said, if it was not possible, I would not ask you to do it. But it is possible. Right? We've all seen what it's like to have unwholesome thoughts in our mind, right? Afflictive emotions, harmful feelings. And we all know we've all known those things to be abandoned, what it's like to end those things, what it's like when you formerly had anger and now you have love, when you formerly had delusion and then you have insight. And we all know what these things are like. And so it is possible to make those changes. That's all we have to do, is just keep doing that thing that we already know. And if we keep doing that through our meditation, these five hindrances, sooner or later, will diminish and diminish and diminish and will fade away. Okay, so let's do some meditation for the next 40 minutes or so. Okay, so I've got a few minutes for some questions. We have some questions on the iPad. Let's see if does anyone have any questions here? Please, yeah.
Knowing the hindrances to meditation,
yeah.
How do they map across to the hindrances to mindfulness? And are they similar, or how is mindfulness hindrances similar or different to the meditation ones?
Pretty much the same. Yeah. Inside the meditation, we're dealing with the same thing, except it's just more subtle. That's all. Yeah.
So we can just map them across.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Thank you so much.
Okay, Barbara from Sweden. So I was going to say good afternoon, but I guess it's probably not afternoon there. Anyway, good day, Barbara from Sweden. I hope you have a nice meditation. Okay, Barbara says, I have a pain during meditation. It's not due to my posture, but I think it's from some old injuries playing sport. That'll teach you. One good thing is I do not hear my tinnitus when I'm having pain during meditation. However, I'm not able to watch my breath. How do I surmount both pain and distraction in the meditation? Okay, so remember what I said before, talking about the hindrances, about the that contentment comes from happiness. So if our meditation, in the meditation, you're always going to feel some pain. You're always going to feel some discomfort, right? This is natural, and we just accept that. But we have to be careful not to let our meditation be driven by pain. Don't let pain become the sort of the defining feeling or the defining experience of your meditation, so that you associate meditation with pain. Now, if you're finding that there is persistent painful feeling which is every time you meditate you sort of come back to that painful place, then try see what you can do about that. If it just happens occasionally, never mind, just let it go and move on. But if it, as in this case, if it's persistent, see what you can do. First thing to do is to see about maybe changing your posture. Okay, here Barbara said that she doesn't think it's due to posture, but okay, fair enough, but try a few different postures and see. Sometimes just holding your body still for a period of time can be painful, no matter what posture that you have. In that case, what I would suggest is that rather than fighting it, that you kind of work your way around it as much as possible, and you do that by beginning your meditation with some kind of practice that doesn't involve staying still. Like, say, walking meditation, or yoga, or tai chi, or something like that. And so you do that until you feel really good, right? You do walking meditation until you feel very peaceful, or maybe you do yoga until you feel very peaceful. And really right about to meditate, and then you come and you sit meditation. And then when you're already feeling calm when you're doing the sitting meditation, then your meditation will go deeper. If you don't have time to do that, then just do the walking meditation or just do the yoga or tai chi. That's okay. Just as long as you're mindful with doing that, then you're still developing your mind in that same way. So don't like kind of force it. There's not just one posture for doing the meditation. Another thing that people sometimes do to meditate is to lie down. You can try that. Can work sometimes. Often you're just going to fall asleep if you lie down, but at least you'll get a peaceful sleep, so that's all right. Could be worse. But you can try it and see. It might work. Some people are able to meditate lying down perfectly well. So just basically, all you can do is just kind of play around with it and do the best you can. But at the end of the day, you know, you are going to experience some pain and you're just going to have to learn to let go of it. So in terms of the actual pain that you're experiencing in meditation, the best thing is to take a twofold strategy with that pain, okay? Don't try to do just one thing, you do two things. First of all, you pay attention to it, okay? So you watch the pain closely, you focus on it, you look at it. Right? You send the message to the pain, I'm not afraid of you. Right? You experience what the pain is like, and you realize, actually, it's all right. It's just a feeling, okay? Pain's just pain, it's all right. And the longer that you look at it, the more it kind of breaks up, the more you see through it, the more it's kind of, there's an emptiness in it. And so you realize it's not this terrifying thing that I have to escape all the time. It's actually just a feeling. And so you do that for a while, you pay attention to it. Then after you've done that for a while, stop paying attention to it. Ignore it, okay? Because what can happen sometimes is that we can think we're being mindful by paying attention to the pain, but actually it's the pain that's still drawing us. It's the pain that's still controlling us. Right? In the back of our mind, we're still attached to it. We still want to get rid of it, and we pay attention to it because we think by using mindfulness we can make it go away. So if you want to develop your mind properly, after paying attention to it for a while, then ignore it. Come to your meditation, and whenever the painful feeling comes into your meditation, just ignore it completely. And remind yourself, I've already spent time paying attention to the pain. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not running away from it. I'm not denying it, I'm just not being controlled by it, okay? And then you ignore it for a while, okay? And then maybe you can oscillate between those two, go back from one to the other, pay attention to it for a while and then ignore it for a while. And as you do that, gradually the pain will lose its hold on you. So hopefully, Barbara, that will be helpful. Okay, Raymond from Germany, could you please explain how to meditate on the five hindrances or any subject? Do I simply say that I want to meditate and this and that, then pay attention to the breath? Oh, goodness. Well, that's a very general question. Pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of different meditation instructions which have been given here and other places over the years. So if you're not familiar with how to meditate, then best to sort of do some courses or watch some talks, or if you can, do a retreat. But generally speaking, at the start of a meditation, it's best to be very clear about exactly what you're going to be doing in that meditation. So let's assume that you're going to be doing breath meditation, you're going to be watching your breath, so that when you sit down to meditate, you're clear in your mind that this is what I'm going to do. You can even tell yourself that if you like. Now is my time for breath meditation. Now is not my time for worrying about the past. Now is not my time for worrying about the future. Now is the time for me to relax and be happy. Now is the time for me to be content. Now is the time for me to step aside and let the breath calm me down. Let my breath do its job. Okay? So you remind yourself of that. It's the time to relax. Okay. And then when you have that clear direction, clear like commitment in your mind, then it's easier for you to recall that. Yeah, and when your mind gets distracted and so on, you remind yourself, oh, hang on, no, this is my time for meditation. And so you do it like that. And then at the end of the meditation, then you get up and you go about and you do your business. But you know that you have that peace of mind from the meditation to bring with you. Okay, so that's the two questions we had for this afternoon. And I think that's it. So let's finish up by paying respects to the Triple Gem.